Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everybody. This is Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you so much for tuning in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. For those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, we offer you our most gracious welcome to the show. And for those of you who have been faithful listeners from the beginning, thank you, as always, for encouraging us and for listening in and for encouraging other people to tune in as well. This week, just like every week, we have the pleasure and privilege of being able to provide you with great information, tangible resources, individuals who are actually doing the work, which is why we call this Boots on the Ground in the first place. Walking into a New Life is our organization, and the purpose of Walking into a New Life, our mission, of course, is to stop domestic violence and help stabilize victims through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year, most of which are absolutely free. And at the end of the broadcast, I will be sharing with all of you about the upcoming events that we have, one which will be taking place this Sunday, as a matter of fact, and then a couple of ongoing initiatives that we really could use your help and support with. So without further ado, I want to take this opportunity again to say welcome to each and every one of you and to introduce our special guests for this afternoon. Both of these women are no stranger to Boots on the Ground. They were guests on our show towards the end of the year, and we had so much information that we were trying to get in such a short amount of time that we agreed that we would get back together in the spring and do a part two. Both women are, I know them personally as well as professionally. So I have a whole bio on each of them. I'm going to allow them to tell you about themselves, though, individually, because I really want them to be able to articulate who they are and what they do with you. And I don't want to give biased information because I do know them so well, and I know their heart and passion for the work. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you all and present to some, introduce to others, Ms. Latrosica Wilson and Ms. Afia Afriye. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And I guess what I'll do is, Latrosica, I'll start with you. let our listening audience know a little bit about who you are and what you do. And then from there, I'm going to switch it over to Afriye. So you all just, the next few minutes is going to belong to you, and I am going to be quiet. So take it away, Latrosica.
Well, thank you again so much for the opportunity, Ms. Cowles. My name is Latrosica Wilson. I know it's a mouthful. However, I am the owner and executive president of A World of Miracles, which is an organization that I started as far as tutoring and mentoring, working with children here in the community. I lost my job with Memphis City Schools back during the merge in 2013 as a special education assistant. So God gave me the vision to continue working with children and being an advocate for the children in our community, and that's what I decided to do. So I actually partner up with different organizations here in the community to mentor and to tutor children. I actually have worked inside the Memphis City Schools as a volunteer to just volunteer my services for the children academically, whether they're special need children with disabilities or regular age children. I now send out volunteers from the University of Memphis and other organizations to volunteer within the schools now to tutor with those children. I've written a book. My book is Turning Pain into Power, which fight against child incest rape. It actually tells a story about incest rape. I am an incest rape survivor. It's been a little over 20 years now. I was raped by my uncle at the age of 11. And I was raped by my father when I was 16. And I've learned to forgive those individuals for what they've done to me. My uncle is now deceased. He did do time for what he did to me. However, it was a secret in the family for so many years. My family members did not want, well, actually my aunt, when she found out, she did not want me to tell anyone what had happened. She told family members and friends that my uncle had actually went back into the service. He was a retired military, and she was telling everyone that he had went back into the service to basically keep our secret. So that secret stayed with me until my aunt died, And when she died, I pretty much went homeless up until the friend of mine that I was staying with from school. I moved into her home, and her her mother said because we couldn't get along that I would have to go and stay, you know, somewhere else. So I had to call my dad. And when I called my dad, of course, things was going good while I was staying with him, but eventually things went sour. My daddy did rape me, and I've been telling my story, and I'm going to continue to tell my story to help save someone else or to help someone else get the help early. That's why I've written the book and started the movement No More Silence Memphis to fight against child incest rape. And that's pretty much what I do. It's just pretty much for the children, because I believe that what happened to me wasn't for me or just for me. It was for me to help someone else. At one point in time, I did give up on God, and I felt like my life was in shambles, and I just felt as though there was no reason for me to live. So I tried to kill myself numerous of times, and I just couldn't. So I know that God had a purpose for me, and I believe that this is my purpose, and I'm living my purpose every day, and that's to fight for children, not only the children in the world, but my children as well, because I have two, a 15-year-old and an 8-year-old. So I fight for them, and I teach them every day how to tell and how to speak and how to communicate when someone is disrespecting you or treating you wrong or trying to touch you inappropriately or anything like that. So that's pretty much me. We're going to have an event this weekend that actually bring awareness to child incest rape and sexual abuse. And that event is going to be at the Marion Hill Community Center. And I'm grateful for the park commissioners, park and neighborhood commissioners, for actually hosting this event for me. It's going to be right here next door to Overton High School. And it's going to be Saturday from 10 to 1 p.m. We're going to have the University of Memphis Tiger Pouncer out. We're going to have the police mascot out. And we're going to have some entertainment. We're going to have a DJ. We have comedian Stephon Smith that's going to be hosting it for us. And it's going to be a great event with educational information and a lot of fun. We're going to have parties with pizzazz out, painting faces and making balloons. And we're just going to give everybody a lot of information because there are so much people need to know about sexual abuse and that it don't just happen with strangers. It also happens in the family as well, and we just need to keep a watch out on our children and communicate with our children and listen to what they have to say. So that's pretty much that.
Hello?
All right. Well, I was leaving it open for you. Go ahead. The floor is yours now.
She said, you opened the door for me.
Are you still with us? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm gonna. You all to finish, and then I want to be able to elaborate on the things that you all share. So the floor is yours, ma'am.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sister Joyce. Again, it's a pleasure to be on your show, as always, and it's always a pleasure to be in just within your network. My name is Effie Frie, aka Sharon Davis. I wrote my book in 2005 called Love Child, and Love Child speaks of her life story of my mother having relationships with three ministers, two of them which molested me, one being my biological father, and then the other one physically and mentally abusing me. It started at the age of 6, and then my dad did me at the age of 11 going on 12. For years, I went out doing things that I didn't have no business doing. I also was a stripper. I have no cut and chase about who I used to be. I'm not ashamed because I realized that I was looking for love in all of the wrong places. It caused me great grief. And even to this day, we're all still challenging, working on being a survivor. I'm not a victim, but I'm a survivor. And so I'm strongly against the church. Not in a bad way, but I'm strongly against the church that are misusing and abusing children and giving them monetary and cars and all of these great things in order to keep them quiet so that, therefore, they won't be able to tell it. Children are a precious gift from God. No one should never touch. And so I did a play last year called Lost Souls, which was based upon the book, and it was pretty successful. I joined in with Left Foot Forward, another organization that a sister in works with that speaks and educates about child incest rape. And then I'm a team, a very, very team leader for No More Silence, because when I met Latrosica, I was still going through my, you know, people in Memphis really don't want, people anywhere don't want to hear about the subject. So when we connected, we just started going full-fledged, and we're still going full-fledged and making sure that we even tell four-year-olds, like they think that I'm wrong for telling my granddaughter to say vagina, to say penis, to say butt, to say breast. But if you give them those cold cookies, strawberries, I mean, would nobody know what's going on? So I'm an advocate on making sure that everybody is. I'm not saying that everybody is a predator, but you have to be cautious no matter who they are, your father, your stepfather, your minister, your mother, you know, your grandmother, I mean, your family members. But my thing is that I try to work with the victims and the predators, because I want to get to the nip of the bud of why we do this, because I do realize that it is a generational curse that came during slavery when we had to breed with one another, and it's just continuing to be a bad influence on our community.
Wow. First of all, let me say to those of you that are just tuning in, I'm Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. The two women that we have on the show today, Latrosica Wilson and Afia Afrie, oh my, you all, your courage, your strength, your determination to get the word out and to not stay silent about your experiences is to be commended. We talked before the show started, and I asked you, and I'm just being transparent here on the show, that I asked you all if there was anything that you did not want me to ask or to say or to share. And both of you were very emphatic in saying that it's out there, we're open books, we want to share, we want people to know our stories and understand that we understand what they may be dealing with or going through, and have the courage to speak up and speak out. So even this time, even though you all have been on the show before, and even though I've had the opportunity to talk with you all individually at different points in our lives, you all are still sharing things that I didn't know. And it just makes me have that much more respect for you and what you do. So thank you so much for being so open, so honest, and so transparent, and wanting to help other people to heal.
Thank you for allowing us to give the opportunity.
Thank you so much. And one thing I failed to mention, Ms. Joyce, there are cases that Afrie and I have worked on together. We've had individuals. I don't have an actual facility. That's why I partner with other individuals and organizations in the community where I can utilize their facilities to be able to do the things that I do. So I'm so grateful for the Awanada Healing Center, Ms. Samat over there, and Mama Ayo and Afrie, because they have allowed me to utilize their facility where we've brought in individuals that have been raped, and we've actually worked with them to actually go and reopen their cases. As far as we have a young girl that we've been working with, she's in her early 20s. She was raped at 15 by her mother's husband, and we've actually helped to reopen, you know, to work with reopening that case. And it's just other individuals we're working with now to just get them in a position where they can be, you know, counseled at the Rape Crisis Center. We have some that we've introduced to the Child Advocate Center that's actually getting the help now that they did not know was out there for them to get at the time they was going through the things they was going through. We have individuals we're working with where children have been removed from the home, out of town. Now, of course, I'm not out of town. I'm not a licensed counselor or anything like that, but my goal with the movement, No More Silence Memphis, it's not an organization, it's a movement, and all we're doing is basically giving individuals the research and putting them in front of those organizations that can help them, like, you know, to give them the help that they need early before it's too late, before they bring a child into this world and that child is abused as like they was abused, or if they have children already before something happened to their children, we're getting them in front of the individuals that can get them the help early. Now, because when my attack was brought to the police about my father, for some reason, my case came up missing. They saying that, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, they shredded and got rid of old cases that was neglect cases and child abuse cases. So that means that my case may not have been put in the system. My case may not have been put in the system as a rape case. So my father never did time for what he did to me, and the secret stayed because, you know, parents tell you, you know, what goes on in my house stays in my house. And, you know, so many children grow up in fear of their parents. They grow up in fear, and I was one of those that was afraid to tell because I always thought that I would get in trouble, and that's what I was being told. So now we're helping those children now that's going through that. When someone tells you not to tell, you need to tell if somebody is doing something inappropriate. Now, I understand that certain things, you know, if you want to surprise somebody and have parties and different things, that's different. But when it comes down to somebody doing something to you inappropriately, that needs to be told. Whether it's happening at home, at school, at church, wherever it's happening at, it needs to be told. So we're pushing that.
Yes, I would like to add on to that.
Go ahead. Yes. Yeah, Joyce, I would like to add on to that while LaTroska's saying, especially with the holidays and the summer coming up when we're having family members of. I have a wonderful friend. Her name is Rhonda, who does a poem that says, "Do anybody check behind closed doors?" What that poem means is when we're sitting around here as family playing cards and we're shooing the kids away so that we can keep and do what we're doing, we're not paying attention to the children. And so the children is in there playing mommy and daddy and house. And we have to be aware of that because we might be partying so hard that we're not checking on the children. And like she said, it was her own cousin, you know, and that, you know, they was touching each other, and it was nice. There are some people, including my daughter, and God rest her soul, you know, that someone molested, raped her, and it made her feel so good because she felt so bad about herself, her low self-esteem, her being fat, you know. And so this can turn into where women, our men, become sexual addicted, and that is a case all by itself.
Wow. And, you know, that just made me think of something said when you were talking about being young and how the family members are playing cards or dominoes or whatever else that they're doing, and they shoo the children away because you're right. Playing house was a common game to play. Playing doctor is another one.
Yes.
And we just don't even think about that. So many times we think about the innocence of and because that time of our lives should be innocent. It should be.
But
and,
that's where
and we don't think about those. Well, absolutely. And that's the thing that we don't think about as much because it should be an innocent time and adults are having fun and having a good time and the children should be doing that too, but we don't. And as you said, I'm thinking about just in my own growing up and remembering quite well, you know, I'm a Chicago native and so a lot of my cousins, aunts, uncles, they lived over in Robert Taylor Homes. And, you know, I would watch Good Times come on TV and I'd say, you know, that's my uncle's house or whatever. But we would go there, and they would have the fish fry going on and the dominoes and spades games going on. And so you never thought about who might be in trouble, you know, and not even realizing, not even thinking about it. And as a child, you don't. And because we have been taught, you know, what goes on in the house stays in the house, or this is just between me and you. This is our little special time. You're my favorite girl. You're my favorite boy.
Right.
You know, that you're so pretty.
Yes.
We don't stop and think about what may actually be happening. And one of the things that I can't remember which one of you said it now, but the point that you made that you don't want to look at everybody and call them a predator or assume that they would be a predator. But you do want to educate your young people on these are the things to look for. If this is being said to you, if it doesn't feel right, it doesn't look right, if it's being done in the dark, if it's being a secret, if I'm being told it's a secret and it's just between us. And I love the fact that you are teaching your child, Afia, that what is penis, vagina, breast, they need to know and hear and understand those words. Because I remember the last show we had, and LaTroska, I remember you pointing that out about the cookies. And when we talk about eating cookies, we think of that as going to get a snack, and that's actually one of my favorite snacks to eat. Not thinking about it in a sexual connotation. So it's all in presentation. It's all in the words that we use in order to make sure that the children are understanding what's happening to them. And that goes for the adults, too. You know,
absolutely.
Because I have worked in crisis counseling with rape crisis, excuse me, not rape crisis, but the crime victim center when I was a victim advocate there. One of the things that I remember quite well is how when we would talk to clients and you would ask them certain questions, the answer would be no. But if you said it another way or use different terminology, then the answer's changed because it's about the understanding and making sure that everybody understands what it means to be abused, what that looks like, what it sounds like. And for those of you that are tuning in who may not be aware, April is recognized nationally as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And myself, along with LaTroska, had the opportunity to participate in a candlelight vigil with the Rape Crisis Center here in Memphis, Tennessee. That was actually last Friday. And so this gives me an opportunity, LaTroska, to tell you publicly that I'm very proud of you, but even more proud of your daughter because of the way that she presented the story. You really felt like you were a part of what was going on at that time. And it was kind of a mixed feeling for me in that I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, this young lady is so very talented, and she's really making me feel a part of where she's been. But at the same time, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, she's making me feel a part of where she's been. And it was nice, but it was sad at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Because you could really feel that. So kudos to you all, but, you know, not take away from you, but your baby did that.
Yeah. I mean, that's my point of putting her out there because I believe that so many people, not just children, but so many can relate to it by actually being able to get that visual like you did. It puts you in a place. Because my daughter, she actually is a local actress and model. You know, she does a lot of different things. And you guys will get ready to see her on a video for the Sisterhood Showcase soon. I haven't advertised it yet, but you guys will get a chance to see that soon. That video should be coming out. They'll let us know when it's going to air. But, yeah, she does that, and that's why I chose her to put that out there because I believe that she can bring it to where you guys could feel it. Instead of me just telling you what happened to me, if you could just feel this and imagine this, then you'll be able to go out and tell somebody's child, if not your own, somebody's child, that you need to be aware because this is what predators are saying and this stuff is happening, you know. So I'm grateful for my daughter, and I'm glad that she was able to touch your heart and able, you know, to put you in a place where you was able to feel that because I believe now that more people will stand up and fight and speak for these babies when they hear that.
Yes. And also I would like to say that the single parents, I really stress that a lot. I know that we're lonely. I know that we want a boyfriend. I know that we want a potential daddy. But we have to be very selective. I'm talking about seriously. Check that person out. Yes. Ask their name, their date of birth. What I do, I'm a paralegal, been a paralegal for almost 20 years. I will look that person up for you, make sure they're pure battery, no domestic violence. I mean, I'm really speaking to the parents because the parents get these men and they think that they're in love and they don't even recognize that, okay, now I feel safe that I can leave my child with you and I need to run to the store and you don't even know that you put your child in danger. So me personally, I truly fault the parents for not keeping an eye on their children. Personally, even my mother, I had to ask for her forgiveness, but I felt like she should understand the warning signs that I was giving from being a happy-go-lucky kind of girl to very quiet, being violent, lashing out, back-talking, back-biting. Some of that ain't got nothing to do with this world of us being just being hot in the pants. No, something has happened.
That's right.
Take the time out and ask your child. And the most important, believe that child when the child tells you what they've done.
Right.
Because once you don't believe them, then, you know, you'll be like me. I told it. And in my book, I told it. And my stepmom said, oh, y'all going to get over it. Just sweep that under the rug because I'm going to grow old and not have no husband. Y'all going to have one. But guess what? I'm a witness to say that I failed 4 marriages. So, no, it did affect me. And it still affects me. But You're a survivor every day, just like a junkie. You have to go through it every day, one day at a time.
Right. The healing process.
Very, very true. Very true.
And so,
you know,
I really
would not
like
to be really
sharing that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I will not do that I like to do, Miss Joyce. And I love the fact that Latroska always pushed me because, honestly, I kind of fell behind on it because there was no other movement going besides your domestic violence movement that was going, because now I have the fire to where every day I wake up and wanting to make sure. But what we do offer at I Will Not the Healing is dance. We do inspirational dance. We do African dance. We get Latroska daughter in there and do artwork. We do different type of outlets, ballet, so that whatever it is that that child or even their parent needs to come out of, they're being able to do it and have a gift while they're doing it.
Wow. That's exactly why I wanted you all to come back and do a part two, because I wanted people to really see and understand that you all are a true tag team with this. Latroska on the end of dealing with these children and working with the children, and then Afia really being truthful, transparent, and just real about these single moms and their role in wanting to have just a body. You know, we talk about how in one of the groups that I participate in, we talked about how sometimes women are just comfortable with one of the three from a man. Either they have their own house, their own car, or their own job. As long as they have a job, we'll take them to work, and we don't care if they stay with their mama. If they stand with their mama, they know that they got someplace to stay, they can come and spend time at your house. You'll drive them wherever they need to go, you know, because we are just so stuck on I need a man. And actually, we're getting a male, not getting a man. And we're putting these men over our children, and we're putting them over us and ultimately over our creator. And by doing that, we allow all these other things to fester into our homes. So I am so grateful that both of you had the opportunity to come on to the show today. We're going to share the information about this Saturday's event on our fan page, our Walking Into a New Life fan page. Our website will actually be up this week. So we'll have we're going to put all the things back on there that we have not been able to show you on the site, but we've been keeping it constant on our fan page so that people can stay in tune with what we're doing. But the website will be up this week. I want to thank both of you for being on the show with us today. Thank you so much for your time, your talent, your honesty, your transparency, and your commitment to helping our community to be a better place to live.
Thank you so much, Joscar. We love you.
Thank you so much.
Love
Joyce.
You all, too.
We just love. Love when we're able to be able to enlighten someone. So we just want you to say, we want to thank you for the domestic violence part, you know, because not many of us have been through that. But that alone is another type of abuse and a whole nother different subject, you know. So we want to thank you as well just for what you're doing in the community and that wonderful husband of yours to be supportive. And Latroska, as well as yours, for those supportive men out there that have to deal with the women of such much pain. You get me?
Yes, and we are all fortunate in that we have good men in our lives to show people that there is love after abuse, that it can happen, but it does take work, and we are so grateful for the men in our lives who continue to support us in our work. And the last point I want to mention to everyone as we close out is that this Sunday, from 3 until 5, we will have our quarterly Tamper and Support Day for victims, survivors, and advocates of domestic violence and sexual assault. So it's always free, and this time is no exception. So we're asking you to come out, reach out to us at 901-466-6182 or email us at info@wial.org so that we can go ahead and get you registered. If you are in Memphis, Tennessee, or nearby, we would certainly welcome to have you come. It's going to be on our it's continuing to show on our fan page as well. We thank Legacy Locks and Fire for offering us the opportunity to use her establishment at 4466 Elvis Presley, Suite 164. I am Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you for tuning in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. Thank you. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Ashe.